welkom in Afrikaans doen en daarna sal ons oorslaan Engels toe, want Roger synde Brasiliaan uit die oerwoud, min of meer, out of the jungle, right?
Out of the jungle,
as you can
yes.
see, kwaai papagaai.
Camouflage.
His Afrikaans is not up to scratch.
Not so not good, still yeah. still practicing.
Yes. I would like to introduce to you Roger Mello. The title of this event is called Kwaai Papagaai because he is like a parrot, vibrant, busy, from the jungle. Hence the not to the jungle. Kwaai, we will talk about the fact that Roger's work is very often quite socially aware. It's political in a certain sense. But as we all know, that kwaai in colloquial Cape Afrikaans also means cool or vibey and so forth, trendy, nice. Roger Mello, in the fraternity of picture book illustrators, needs no introduction really, because he was a recipient of the Hans Christian Andersen Award in 2014. And that is often called the Little Nobel Prize, because that is the kind of importance attached to it in the picture book environment, children's literature environment. And that, I assume, is the biggest thing that could happen to a picture book illustrator in his life, because it does change your life. But that is not where Roger's involvement in it started, of course. You must have had a wonderful legacy to get to that point. Roger studied in Rio de Janeiro, and you studied industrial design, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And then he became more and more interested in illustration, but he's also involved with the theater, as is his partner. And he wrote texts for the theater that have been awarded even, so he's quite involved. And apart from that, also in many other activities that are shoot-offs or related to narrative or picture book illustration.
Yes.
And I'll say one more thing about him. Roger was born in 1965, which means that his entire childhood was spent during a military regime.
In Brazil.
Yes. So perhaps that's a good place to start, Roger, because we call you Kwaai Papagaai.
Yes.
And meaning that is not anger, but a certain sense of urgency, is it not, in your work?
Yes, I am a very, people think that I am calm, but I always say don't want to be inside, because I think that relaxed people, sometimes they are crazy inside, and the people who seem crazy inside, actually, they are kind of relaxed, because they deal externally with this. And growing in this, Brasilia is a planet city. It was one of the last utopian cities. And it was planned by very interesting artists from Brazil. The most well-known, I would say, is Niemeyer, the architect, but also there is a very important influence in my work. Niemeyer is a very important influence, although he is the artist of the absence, and I am the artist of
the opposite,
the new Baroque. But there's too much in common, I would say, and also this garden designer, that he was definitely very important. You're going to see in one of the books, he's called Burle Marx. Mm. And it was funny because I just did a novel. It's not illustrated by me at this turn, and it talks about this period of my life. But I have this alter ego that is a girl called Clarice. Clarice is also a very important writer from Brazil. Actually, she is from Ukraine. She is Clarice Lispector.
Okay.
And so, in this book, for example, I talk a lot because my aunt, she is not a left person, let's say, but she's a person of left attitudes or liberal attitudes, because many of her friends were some of those artists
yeah.
that created the city, or crazy people from that time. And since people would be taken away or would disappear or would be killed or tortured because of having that books, people were trying to fake that books or to get rid of that books would be the red books. And Burle Marx has got this Marx name, although he's got nothing of actually the ideology. I think he was very subversive in his gardens. And those people created the city, but Brazil was in a very, how they say, creative mud and a very open, liberal time. And then the regime came, and the city, which was created to be a place of culture, inclusion, was turned into in a citadel. And it was very effective for the purpose of these guys in the army. And also what is funny is that most of these creators of the city, Atos Bulcão is another one, he made ceramics, they were taken away, they were isolated, they were, taken from the country away. But we could still see the subversion of their traces in the context of the city. So we started to read. My family was a reader family. They made no propaganda. You have to read. Reading is good. Never. The books were everywhere.
Yeah.
But we first started to get through reading, which is a kind of subversive act, because we read their silent context,
yeah.
Like the gardens. The gardens were not Cartesian, Descartes' garden. They were not like this. They were like waves.
More of organic and less structured. Is that what you mean?
Also the city, also the shapes of Nehemiah. It's a way of why, if they are so in a square, these people that rule us, why everything is so soft and so, not so soft, but so curved, so curly, so like a laser ray or something like this. Why? So we started to become first visual readers. Silent visual readers.
And would you relate that fact to the fact that a lot of your work, from my perspective, seems as if you do give a nod towards folk art from,
yes. I love
from,
this.
From times earlier than the regime, much earlier and much further
I love this subject.
Back.
I love the subject. Why? Because I studied in a very, like Nehemiah, in the first Brazilian school of design, which is called ESG, Escola Superior de Desenho Industrial, Superior School of Industrial Design. And the people were quite Bauhaus, quite school colors, but very, the way they used them were very rational, and again, this idea of minimalism, which I need, for example, if you are in Itamaraty Palace, is the most beautiful one, is the foreign affairs one, and you've got all these artists, and he was in love with artists.
Yeah.
Maria Martins is another very important artist. She was doing things with Picasso, with the other with Duchamp, and she was the model for the boobs of one piece of Duchamp. So as crazy as this, and this was very. I need to have an open space with only a stair like this. I love this. Mm. But on the other hand, when I finished my university, I went to a place I was already in love because Brasilia was a new city, but many people from other parts of the world, many embassies, which I would get in touch with. My love for the cultures of the world as well is starts there.
Yeah.
And also these, because I could think see things from Bahia, another state, a very African based state, or things from indigenous states from the north, and I could see those parties, those, and they are very vivid, and they are usually a narrative like theater, because I'm from the theater too. And when I went to this specific museum called Casa do Pontal in Rio de Janeiro, I felt in love immediately, and I said, in one day visit of this museum was like a postdoc.
Okay.
Because the guy who did this museum, the curatorship, is a Belgian that escaped from the war during the war times. And one person that stimulated him to go there was Burle Marx, the one we told before. And he did a curatorship where you enter and you see the works of art of those folk artists, and they are really the masters. And it is like entering life. There is the scale of life. There is something very common in these folk traditions.
Is there, we were talking about regimes and obviously people with power and some with less, and then we look at folk art. Is there something of a power game between the artist, the illustrator, us, who then claims something that doesn't really belong to us directly?
I hate the name folk art, really, because when you say folk
art...
Just
a second. Can anybody get us an image on the screen? I have no idea. Do I need a password now to get in?
I think it's another...
Linky, help.
You have to enter another, because I already have it. It's another domain.
Franz. Thank you. I just need my pictures back. Yes, the PowerPoint is there.
Yeah.
Come on, pop it up. Okay.
Okay, work in progress.
Okay, you hate
this. This is very good. I love this. It reminds me of theater.
Because I think it makes more sense if we look at pictures while you talk about your work,
yes,
and your influences.
But we can talk because we're talking about other artists.
Why do I hate?
Because every time you use the word folk art or art naive, you were annihilating the creator. The person, the individuality is different when you say, I don't know, symbolism or how do I say, or
impressionism.
Impressionism or the isms are not so good. But I think of the artist as an artist.
If I think
of Rousseau. Rousseau is taught by his work, although some people say he's influenced by naive art. Or when you talk about Picasso or Braque, it's very clear that they went to see the folk art of Africa, let's say. The same thing happens in Brazil. Some of the best artists that I know, they have a name, like Noemisa. She's a very good artist. And she is from one part of Brazil, which is a very semi-desertic. And when you buy a piece of art from her, and they are really amazing, and no, not many colors, the earth colors.
Yeah.
Only this brown, brownish, or gray, and sand color. And she says, why do you want to buy this? This is nothing. This is horrible. She has to say this about her artwork. Yeah. And for example, Nino, which is a wonderful person who knows how to do things with colors, he knows that they are valuable. Okay, this is really something that I did and I'm never going to do again. Noemisa would never say this. Mm. Galdino is a man that needs to dream with. And he takes his nightmares and he does his artwork. Maybe it's a lie, but if it's a lie, it's a good one.
Yeah.
To make a good lie is really something. Okay. So what I say is that those artists interest me as individualities. When I talk, I talked about Burle Marx, we can talk about Rodin, we are talking the name of the people, Kiveta Pakovska. So when we say folk art, usually is not to make them...
It's a bit derogatory, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
More than just a bit.
Because when you say pop art, it should mean the same, but it doesn't.
But it doesn't, yeah. there's more status to work to being a pop artist than the folk artist.
But apart from this, yes, it's a way to know what we are talking about.
But so you would say you do take influences from... Yeah, even ethnic art is not a nice word, but art
it's even worse.
Art that comes from a place, belongs to cultural groups and has been within a country for a long, long time.
You know, artists did name this. Artists said this in a way to make them shine and the others not, you know. When people say Brazil did it a lot, there's the week of 22 was like a modern avant-garde from Brazil, and they were influenced by folk art, but their names appear, and the others were ethnicity or so. Mm. It's a kind of ethnocentric point of view. Mm. And I prefer to name them. They have names.
Okay. Did a person with a name inspire you to come up with imagery for this book? Tell us about this book about the gardens.
Yes. Yes.
And the gardens of Brasilia, did this have any influence here?
No, this is a garden from India. The other one. It's a garden from India. What was happening? I have this friend. She's a wonderful poet, Rosiane Murai. And we are going from one place to the other. We do a lot of panels and so on. And traveling is an inspiration very strong for me and also for her. I was telling the name of the trees because, you know, I am obsessed about animals and trees. And she said, I have a book about trees. It's called Gardens. And I said, okay, let's do this book. Can I change the order of the... She said, you can do whatever you want. Because I wouldn't do this just to say I'm doing.
Yeah.
I would do because I wanted her work to be in relation, deep relation with me.
Yeah.
And it takes me a lot, it's a whole year to illustrate a book sometimes. This was
project.
6 months.
But this is one of the projects, am I right, that... Okay, this text was written by somebody else, but mostly you prefer to, especially since you won the award, or even before that, to work with your own ideas and your own...
Yes,
narrative.
I love to work with other people, but the thing is, how do I say, it's a day-to-day problem. Sometimes when you do illustrate a book of another illustrator, or writer, for example, I illustrated the book for the... Jorge Amado's wife. I love the work of Jorge Amado, a very famous Brazilian writer. And we did kind of together this book about the origin of mermaids in a Bahia state point of view. And she's Italian, which makes things even more crazy. And we were very deep in this thing, and it took me a lot of time to do this book.
Yeah.
And then my publishing house bought the whole work of art of Jorge Amado, and including his wife. And then they said, no, I think we have to have a new...
Including his wife?
Yes.
Throw in a wife in the deal.
No, because they were so... It makes sense, because they were so related. He was like a mentor for her, although she had her own work of art and it was very different from his. The family sold everything. Mm. So they said, Roger, you work in this publishing house. Do you want to do another book? Because this one we are going to change. But it was a very important book for me, and she said, I want this illustration, but the publishing house decided to change. So this is why I don't do no more. Because you do a book and it's in the middle of a void now, the illustrations. They take part on the exhibitions. And now I have to make a new story for this book, for these illustrations, to have the book. Because otherwise they would be in the middle of the cloud. They would be in the cloud.
Yeah.
Okay. So that happens. But also talking about this influence, when I went to this museum, Saramago, very important Portuguese writer, he went to the same museum and he wrote a book because he was so touched by this museum, because further than a museum of folk art, it was a museum about life. About, I think these subjects come before. And I something that I already kind of knew, I think the same in South Africa, the same in India. We have a bright sun. So sometimes we are pretending to have the same palette of Europeans from the north of Europe doing trolls and grayish black backgrounds or earth.
Subtlety.
But it's not me. I am this person. I am this person. We see the light. We see the plenty of colors. And it's very difficult to work with colors.
You said the other day when we talked about color, you said, and even children, you said, understood that it's not just the happiness of color, but also the pain of color.
What did you mean by each color is a pain? Every time I pick a color, I don't have this color anymore.
I need to tell you at this stage is that I was quite amazed by it. He uses, of all things, it will make the illustrators here shudder, PVA wall paint.
Yes.
Yeah, tell them about that. Why?
Very not expensive, non-expensive.
Is that to get more colors that you would not necessarily pick up from the standard tubes and punnets?
I think that people give more importance to houses than to artists. So they have a bigger range of colors. And of course, some colors people don't want in their houses. I don't know why. For example, magenta.
Yes.
Nobody wants a magenta wall.
Yeah.
So this color I have to find somewhere else. But I go for this color somewhere else. But my color is the wall paint. Maybe it's not good for your health. Since it's water-based...
Can't be that bad.
Be that bad.
Yes.
Oh, can't be that bad.
So, but you said sometimes you work on colored paper, but in the case of this illustration...
This is colored paper.
Also, that's colored paper, the blue.
This is colored paper with this ink. Because I think only
paint.
Yes. Or gouache would have this flat effect over a saturated colored background.
Yeah.
So these are the birds and trees from Brazil in this book. It's a poem about gardens, and I said to her, I can make whatever I want. She said, yes, this is the good thing. I believe it. Sometimes my books are illustrated by other people. I don't want to see, and I don't want to interfere. If I ask somebody, it's the adventure of not knowing what is coming. I don't even want to say anything. Okay. Oh, but can you give me a tip? No, just feel it, please.
Yeah.
I would do the same.
Have you ever written a story that somebody else illustrated?
Yes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
And isn't that very difficult? I mean, one, as an illustrator, could be quite irritated at times because of too much interference, too many opinions from the authors.
So this
or the
is
publisher.
Why I don't do it. Because I'm from the theater as well. Since I'm from the theater, when we ask for somebody to create the costume designer.
Yeah.
When he comes or she comes, wow. Wow. Maybe you can say, and he's or she's going to understand that something or the actors and actresses. But it's so amazing when you bring something new and it makes you rethink everything.
Yeah.
So my nephew, which is a 20 years later generation, illustrated this book, Clarice, of the girl. And it was not what I expected, but it made me go somewhere else because I had his point of view.
And you had to
he's very good.
Had to let your baby go a little bit.
The baby's the book or him?
Yeah, it's your story.
He's very mature. Yes. Yes. It's another baby. It's like having a baby because you cannot have a baby all alone. You have a baby when you mix
two people.
DNA, yes. Yeah. And so this is the baby. Before, it was not so much. And it's even if you illustrate and write, there is the publisher, there is the person that revises the text.
Yes, and then you get librarians, educationalists, parents. It's a host of parties involved in, you can do what you want, but whether you're going to make a living of it. But I assume, having said that, that since the Hans Christian Andersen was awarded to you, that your life must have changed massively, or no?
Yes, because before even. Because when you are the country, IBBY gives the Andersen Award. It is sponsored by Nami Island, amazing foundation. And the local IBBY sections, they nominate one illustrator, one writer. Mm. And I was nominated and I stood in the five finalists three times. Mm. And at the third time, I received it. But the other side, we have to do a dossier. This dossier is very important because you get in touch with yourself. And they are very criterias. It's first on 10 books, all the books should appear. It was really crazy.
He's talking now about the nomination. The country really has to compile the dossier.
You have to do the dossier. Yeah. So you think a lot of yourself, the things, the stupid things that you did, the stupid things that you didn't do, when you were trying to be pretentious, when you didn't, when what you like and what you don't like anymore. It's very important, this balance. Mm. So it was a dialogue to myself through other people, through the people from IBBY Brazil, FNLIJ, and Ninfa and Betty, who were making Ninfa help. Ninfa Parreiras, she's a writer, psychologist, and she worked for IBBY Brazil, and she was saying, Roger, this paragraph. She was like this. Mm. And I was more not so careful, but I was really on it. Mm. About the work, about the whole work, let's say.
Yeah. But it paid off. You got it, and it's brilliant. But, I assume you gained freedom. You had, I suppose, more freedom to do more things exactly that you wanted. I assume that it did buy you a better life, in a sense.
Yes,
it had financial advantages, and then honor, of course, which is the main thing about.
Yes,
it does not include any money. This prize is just medal, but a massive honor.
Yes, and also what's nice is that it makes, if you want to work a lot from then on, you can, because.
Do you?
No, I am a very, I do lots of things at the same time, but the book takes an year, even if, to be produced, because for example, I launched my first adult novel last year. It took me 9 years to do this, and it was first a novel, then it went to the theater, and then it processed because it didn't go to the really to the theater.
Yeah.
And then it got back as a novel, and then this took 9 years. Yeah. We did the book in 1 year. I think Children deserve the best of you, not 5 minutes. Sometimes I see a person say, oh, a very important, amazing musician from Brazil. Brazil is the country of music. And she was saying, I did the illustration of a book in 5 minutes while my producer was going to pick me. She did the book in 5 minutes.
Yeah, so much
and
respect.
She's proud of it. I would never confess this. I would say, I did it in 5 years, but... Because I worked with Ziraldo, and he said, a book that you do in a very roughly way, you have to do much more illustrations to pick one. So this is the way that you show that you're respectful for children, not only 5 minutes.
Yeah, then you get people, and you get them every now and again, who said, I've worked with children's books for quite, and now I'm ready, I can write something for adults, as if you have to progress, right?
Yes.
Easy stuff first and then later and on.
No, it's not like this. No. Even like some adults decide to write for children. And sometimes adults are so childish, isn't it?
Exactly.
There's nothing more childish than adults. And because they always have to be important, say important things, and they don't do that. They know everything and they don't. And children know more things than adults because they don't pretend that they know. And I know many amazing writers for adults that when they write for children, they think, okay, it's for children. I have to prove that I am so good. So I'm going to write everything in diminutive, how they say.
Yeah, cute. Or theater for children. I find it amusing that very often they think, then you have to shout, and everybody shouts.
Everybody's deaf. All children, wow! Yeah. Yes. Yes, it's like this.
Okay, Roger, let's get back to your work, because we have little time left, and I really want to talk more about...
but we're talking about it.
quickly about this one.
This one.
Because it's one of the first, it's an old one.
This book, yes. It's a very old one. There's the new edition now, and it's a very important, sometimes, many times, I start to research a theme, and I say, okay, there is no book about it, so I have to do it. There are books about Nau Catarineta, but Nau Catarineta is like the Flying Dutch. It is a ghost ship.
Yeah.
And it's also very Mephistopheles, very Fausto.
Mm, mm.
And it was written at the written. It was said at the same time. It was not to be written. It was to be performed.
Ah, okay.
So it's all in rhymes and verses, and it comes from Portugal. But it's in all Portuguese-speaking countries. You are going to find the same episode where they are for 7 years and a half lost in the. In the easy waters, and there's no more food, no more anything to eat, and they decide to play a game, and who loses the game is going to be eaten.
Okay.
So it's no forbidden themes for children. Okay. They love this.
They love
story.
Blood and gore, and
they love.
Yeah.
And the sailor that tries to look for Earth starts to change into the devil. And he wants the whole crew and the ship. The ship was itself the most rich belonging of the king of Portugal. And so it's all sang and it's like a play. So my task was how to make of this book like a musical.
Mm.
And it takes 3 hours if you go to the... It's never close to the sea. Sometimes it is, but even in the countryside, you are going to see them. And it's each part of the journey, they say.
Yes.
Each journey is like an opera area. So like this, okay. For example. Senhor contramestre, eu venho lhe avisar. Senhor contramestre, eu venho lhe avisar. Olha a nossa nau virando com risco de naufragar. Senhor piloto, onde estão os seus sentidos? Senhor piloto, onde estão os seus sentidos? Por causa de sua cachaça, estamos todos perdidos. So it's all saying, And the rhythm is ta 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 ta. It looks like Portuguese.
Bossa nova.
Da, 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 da. No, it's very Portuguese.
Right.
Bossa nova would be more like ta 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 ta. So music is very important for me too. There's always a music, a song or a rhythm inside my head. But there's no. I didn't want no CD included in.
Okay.
I don't like CDs in so much included in the. I think books. That's okay to have a CD included, but it's always something like, oh, you lose it or you don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
So the idea is that and there is music also in image. I think that words and images are the same.
Yeah.
And I also think that there is music and music can be also image or words.
This image here, that's a different,
different
kind of tune, isn't it?
You can't be too
careful.
The tone
is changing completely,
completely,
quite different from your other books.
Completely. It's because the thing is, I changed so much my style, which before it was not considered something very good.
And it frustrates some publishers.
People told me so many times, okay, you changed so much of your style, it's not good. And then I, after this, I tried to have a style, and then a third style appeared. And then I realized that my style changed because the subject
The stories ask for something else, isn't it?
I don't know the word for subject, the material. The
subject matter?
It's matericism. The contemporary art use a lot this word. Materico, matericist, I don't know. They made a lot of neologisms, they create, where I like this. And this book is a book about the relation. The small thing can change the whole life. So, for example, there is an old uncle that keeps giving the world map to her nephew because she's such an annoying, boring person. And all of this happened because she has a brooch. That she wears all the time, and it was not carefully done, because gold values more for the height, or the
weight
than for the goldsmith three.
Yeah.
So she is boring only because of this, and she doesn't know. And when the story comes back, she doesn't have this brooch anymore. She's a wonderful woman. She likes to travel. She's a nomadic. She sent postcards from everywhere, and not globes. That is a way to be inside the cage, to have the whole world in a ball.
Yeah.
So all of these things appear, and it's not a book like this one. It's a very low, it's a bossa nova. This is samba book, this is bossa nova book. It's only one instrument. I'm very inspired by music.
Yeah.
If João Gilberto, in singing, he says, I take the whole samba thing, which is amazing, but I just want one instrument and the voice. So he has a microphone for the voice, another microphone for the instrument. And he is doing the rhythm and syncopate. He gets he goes further and gets back. So he makes this corruption of rhythm. And this book had to be a little bit like this.
Mm.
This is a modern chain story, because there is not exactly the character presents himself and then disappears.
Yeah.
And then it comes back and he's a little bit changed or completely changed. Because of this brooch, somebody dies. And when the story comes back, somebody else dies and that person doesn't die. And I didn't have control of this. I'm really also very inspired by philosophy. Because I think all fiction is philosophy. Mm. And I think that all philosophers are fictionists. I really believe, and I think they sometimes don't give the real importance, or give value to fiction, but sometimes as something like, I am a philosopher, I'm a very important person, an adult, and I like fiction.
Mm.
And the other says, I hate fiction.
Mm.
Plato would, maybe, I hate fiction. And the thing is, you are a fictionist. Mm. You are creating a point of view yeah. where everything makes sense from this,
point of view. Yeah,
Berkeley is my favorite ever because he's so crazy. Okay, if you close the door, who knows if your room is still there? I love this. He's a fictionist. He needs this to make this simulacrum of life. So I think that really also philosophy is about fiction.
Yeah.
And this book is a little, it's my philosophical regard is very in this book. But of course, fiction comes before philosophy for me. Mm. Because I love books. But I do love philosophy. And this book had to be made by pencil with some collage, but it's not the how do I say, the wall paint thing that is like, you don't have the paper anymore.
Yeah,
it generates a new paper.
And this one you work with a paper because the white that we see the back
is
just the paper.
Yes, you can see the paper breathe because I was working with the, it's very difficult to me to be so careful. So this was something, you can't be too careful. So it was something that I had to be into, like the garden before. It's not just that I'm doing my point of view of a story. I have to be really in the subject.
Yeah.
And for this, you have to have the surprise. You don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Sorry, I have to move on.
Yes.
Something that you are into as well, and it's quite dear to you, are issues that relate to the political environment.
Yes.
In the country, social issues. Because we're running out of time, and I would like to mention, to have that mentioned and discussed a little bit before I give opportunity for questions. The charcoal
burners.
Tell us about that, because I find that quite a moving story and quite a poignant one.
Thank you. It's been translated to English by amazing Daniel Henn. He read the story. He's a very good reader as well. This is a story where I only have three colors. I have the black, I have the orange, fluorescent orange, and I have the fluorescent magenta. So these colors, they are, each color for me, again, is like a character. They don't come easily. They come with suffering. So I think it's okay that people in Brazil or South Africa or India do the grayish and the brownish thing. But why not, if we deal with colors, do the colors too? It's okay.
Yeah.
So there is a boy. I love also my publishing house because they say nothing that, okay, you're not going to be to do in a book for children. One boy is smoking, and he's albino boy?
Albino.
Albino.
He's white.
He's albino, yes. The other is a mixed blood child, and this child takes advantage on this to be in camouflage, to the charcoal thing. But the albino, he cannot, because he gets even more evident. So
he can't hide, he can't be camouflaged.
Yes, of course. So this issue is there, but we don't, it's not clear. Also, when he throw it, the other guy, boy, is trying to catch the last piece of cigarette, and he throws away, and it's very dry in Brasilia. Brasilia has a vegetation, it's the Brazilian savanna. It's the second most important ecosystem in Brazil after Amazon. So, and then the book catches fire, and the pages are the fire and the flames. And it's funny because I won't talk about the fire, it's written. He's a grown-up. He should talk about himself. Mm. And this was really the thing we were trying to say, not as a symbolic or metaphoric thing, but as a sensation, which is another kind of thing we are going to. And about the theme, we grew up in a context, the problem of after the dictatorship, people or during start to be activists in fiction too. Mm. And this is really dangerous, because if you're I love Bertolt Brecht. I love the people who knew how to do this. Mm. But mostly people, because they are trying to say something.
Too didactic?
Yes. And too, how do I say, proactivistic. They're, okay, children from the whole world, fight for your rights. This is not fiction. This is something else. The way, but I... So people usually, in myself, would try to avoid this theme because you are trying to talk about something. So the way I should do fiction without judging the environment or the character or the social thing was my challenge, for example, in this book or in the Mangrove Kids. So what did I do? I created this character, which I observed a lot, like the Hornet. He also does an upside down oven, let's say the place where he puts his egg is made of clay.
Yeah.
Just like the big oven that the boy closed. He doesn't do this thing, this oven. Oven, I say?
Oven, yeah.
Oven. Somebody else does.
Furnace.
But he has to close it because his hand is smaller. So the Hornet doesn't understand anything. He doesn't understand why the boy doesn't fly. Why the boy is a boy. Why the boy talk and smoke. So he's not judging at all. So the idea through this character, through this narrator, to have these... subversive point of view would be my way not to judge the boy or the situation, because although these themes can take this activist path, which I really don't want. I want fiction.
Yeah.
I don't want to be judgmental, which would be a way also to make the boy less strong. The boy is strong because he is a character, not because he is.
He's been carried by ideology or.
So, it's really tough to do that, but I till now I think it's okay. I believe when you show the fear and the happiness of it, that's okay.
Yeah.
The boy doesn't want. When I went to the mangrove where people were living in huts, but in. With almost no infrastructure, with almost no citizenship. But they said to us, are you coming here because we're doing a movie? Are you coming here because you want to change us from the way we are, with the place we are? We like to live here. We want to stay here. So I understood that if you like the place, you also have fun. The boy has have fun with the charcoal. These boys had fun having the crab as a toy. So I don't want to change things. I just want to listen to them. Because they are going to find a way to play that game. But I cannot not tell the story.
Yeah.
Because sometimes people say, but this is a story. It's too Brazilian or too South African or too Chinese. But I say, okay, what is this piece of... What is this pillar made of?
Mm.
Is it made of steel? If this pillar in, I don't know. Sorry. If this...
That's a sign.
Okay, it's a sign. It's this. If this pillar is made of steel, it was once big iron. If it was once big iron, and you are in UK, it came from Brazil or from Australia. And maybe or surely it involves... children's labor and slave children's labor, which is worse. But we don't talk about this in this book. It's a book about the boy.
It's a story of a child in the first instance, rather than ideological.
So, but in this book and the other, I included the use of plastic.
Okay.
Plastic bags. I remove a part of them and I brush it with glue, and then it stays there. I don't know why it stays.
We have sadly to stop here,
yes.
Roger. Anybody wanting to ask a question? Not? All good. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Roger did bring some of the books along. We're out of time, but he will put them here in front. If people want to have a look, you're welcome to do so. Thank you so much. What a pity that Roger's books aren't available in South Africa. They haven't been published in the UK, but in the US. Funny thing, very often that in the Anglophone world, only once a person has been awarded the Nobel Prize for Literature or the Hans Christian Andersen Award, only then does the Anglophone world take notice of this person. Before that, they did not know of Mello. And you don't forget Mello once you've met him. Thank you so much for
listening. Thank you so much. Thank you.